is Radio Era Environnement. You are listening to the podcast Understand COP26
with Washington Zakata.
I'm Washington Jakarta, the lead negotiator for Zimbabwe, the UNFCCC focal point, and I'm also one of the lead negotiators for Africa.
What do you think of the issue on climate finance for Africa?
We're not really strongly represented in the texts or decisions which came out of the COP. Only emphasizing, of course, the agency of scaling up the action and support, including finance, but without any proper commitments that we can say these are clear-cut commitments. The issues to do with such a decision or such decisions were emanating from the fact that our developed country partners are not very keen to support many large developing countries as well. But they would be more comfortable in supporting smaller, growing developing countries. So the lumping up of the group, especially under the G77 in China, which is said to be a developing countries group, is one of the major issues that is resulting in the reneging of resourcing of the financial mechanisms by the developed countries. This is from my own perspective. This is why there is now a disaggregation mention of least developed countries and countries highly vulnerable to climate change.
This is Radio Era Environnement. You are listening to the podcast Understand COP26
with Washington Zakata.
If you look at the adaptation finance, for example, it notes the concerns of the current provision of finance for adaptation is insufficient to respond to worsening climate impacts in developing country parties. That one is mentioned in the package, the Glasgow package. So there is mention of the worsening climate change impacts in developing countries.
On behalf of the African group, the Minister of Gabon said,
"We are moving under special circumstances in Africa, if not as fast as we had hoped, and we will take this up in COP27. What does that mean?
Of course, it's all talking to the issues of direct financing, but the mention is there. For both adaptation finance and even adaptation itself, the mention of the special needs and priorities for developing countries, perhaps not specifically Africa on its own, mentioned, because Africa is a developing country. And, to disaggregate this, Africa also is divided also into the least developed countries and the other countries which are also fairly developed, and among others. So the mention here was covering both, all developing countries, because climate change really is now affecting everybody. There was no disaggregation of Africa on its own, yes.
Okay, I see. And for the G77 plus China statement at the end of the negotiation in the formal meeting, the representative of Guinea was disappointed because the finance mechanism on loss and damage was not raised in the text, and there is no issues on the information on how the developed country will finance the loss and damage. What do you think?
Yes, the issues of loss and damage, the developed countries were not comfortable to go into details to create any mechanism that is different from other financial mechanisms with respect to loss and damage. It's watered down the issues to do with loss and damage, that it didn't have anything concrete coming out of COP26. This is how I see this issue.
You are listening to Washington Zakata.
COP26, what is the expectation of Zimbabwe and you as a negotiator?
Well, we need really to conclude some of these sticking issues, especially the issues to do with the loss and damage, and because we are already being impacted extremely negatively, and also issues to do with the impacts of response measures in the nature of financing that should come with the impacts of response measures, since fossil fuel use in my country is quite intensive, and this is the route of development that the country was following. And now, for the first time in the text, decision text, there is mention of phasing out of coal.
It's phasing down. It's not phasing down. It's not phasing down and not phasing out.
It's like phasing down, yes, but the actual thing is stopping any new coal fire powered stations, and eventually, maybe by mid century, you'll phase out this coal. So, but otherwise, the phasing down itself is already a problem for us, because with the new coal projects which were in the pipeline, which are no longer possible for us to do, in the situation which will make us have to go the route of hydropower, which we had not totally planned for. It means that this is going to be an extra burden, an extra cost on the part of the country with respect to the change towards renewable energies, and there is need for assistance in financing of the new technologies that we have to zero in on. So this is one of the main issues. The other issues, we still are not clear on the issues to do Article 6 and carrying over of the emission reductions already generated under the Kyoto Protocol, which were supposed to be used in the process of the developed countries meeting their pre-2020 commitments. So we definitely need to see how clarity on some of these issues completed, because we've been talking about these things for quite some time. So these are some of the sticking issues.
This is Radio Era Environnement. You are listening to the podcast Understand COP26.
With Washington Zakata. Thank you.
long-term finance is an issue, but also the doubling and adaptation is still an issue, as the Minister of Gabon mentioned in this in his statement. And actually, the representative of the U.S., John Kerry, the Special Envoy on Climate Change of the U.S., just after the statement of the African group, he said that he will assure that they will give the finance on double on doubling adaptation. What do you think?
We are yet to see that, because there was really promises to have resourced the Green Climate Fund to $1 billion by 2020 and thereafter. But this has not yet been done, and we are yet to see what comes on board and the amounts which they are putting. Also, after we presented our NDCs, is not anywhere close to what we are saying we need in order for us really to be fully geared to implement the climate change agenda. You know, right now we're talking in terms of trillions of dollars now to meet our NDCs, which have got also a common component of adaptation. So these finances are not clear how these finances will be mobilized, because the individual pledges like America, which was going to double its amount to $11 billion, I think annually, something like that. That's not anywhere close to what we're talking about. This finances perhaps we need for one or two countries, maybe for a very short term, not to go beyond the 2030 time frames for us to have achieved much in terms of climate change mitigation and adaptation.
I see. Related to what you mentioned on the fossil fuels in Zimbabwe and the coal used in Zimbabwe, is in the national plan on the NDC, the former NDC, you didn't mention it, but for this NDC, the national contribution, which has to be revised, will you integrate the coal that you use in your country?
We already included the issues of coal with respect to how much we are emitting from the coal industry. But we introduced a lot of renewable energies in the energy mix with the gradual phase down of coal use in the long-term future. So already it's more to do with the implementation of what we've put in place in the NDCs and with finance that is also resourced internationally and some domestically in some cases, but otherwise our NDC is conditional. So the issues are already captured one way or another, because we cannot move to just drop coal, but it has to be gradual. So I think we've covered it enough for now. What we need is money.
I see.
For the renewable energies.
For the renewable energy, I see. Your bilateral relation with China, for instance, how China is working with your country related to sustainable development and the fight against climate change?
China politically, China and Zimbabwe have very good relations. Even our coal plants, China has been helping quite a lot in the country, developing our energy base with respect to coal and in solar as well. Right now, since China has mentioned outright that they are no longer going to assist any country to come up with any new thermal power generation plans, it means now we have to move with China and to see other avenues of cooperation that will include transformation of our economies to green economies. So I'm sure the doors are open from the Chinese perspective to work with various countries now on renewable energy, since as one of the countries that has been instrumental in closing the gap between the geopolitics of the West and ensuring that we still have partners to work with from the East, then it will be of paramount importance that China also opens its door for us to start talking about renewable energy.
Negotiations, the room was empty, quite empty, and they raised concern on the issues of the negotiation. What could be the role of the youth in this negotiation in Sharm el Sheikh?
The youth talk of course loudly, but I don't know whether someone listens that much to the voices, because what they talk normally is known. We all people know we need to sort out problems for now impacting us and also for the future. So the youth's voices, they can be there, but the impact, I don't see any changes, because the youth have said we are parents of the youth and we know what our youth to, and even our dead grandchildren need for that. So I'm not sure what the direct role of which they can change in any way. So myself, that's my personal opinion. Although their presence is okay, it shows that all persons are represented. But otherwise, for the impact, I've never seen where they are really put into the fold.
I see.
Podcast recorded after the last meeting of the 26th UN Conference on Climate Change held from October 31st to November 12th. Extended to November 15 with Washington Zakata.